Begin the current daf, Maseftes Bava Metzia, daf Mem Ches. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, discussing the fundamental principle that our Mishnah, opening up this Perek, or Perek Hazav, was contingent on. That is, we were trying to figure out, Hazav, Kainas HaKesef, HaKesef Eina Kainas Hazav, what is the merchandise, and what is the currency, what is the money? The reason for that is, as the Gemara explained, is that money is not Kaina, the object, rather the Mashiach of the object will create the mekach, the acquisition. What's the reason for that? That's a machlekes Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon. Rish Lakish holds that biblically the halacha is that only Mashiach can be kind, that you have to draw the object, you have to do a kinyan, an acquisition, the object itself, but giving over monies does not create a kinyan. Whereas Rabbi Yechonon holds that biblically, dvatayra mo'is are kindness. Money could create an acquisition, and once the money is given over, the sale is final. However, rabbinically, as the Gemara explained in the previous stuff, because we're concerned for the person might leave the merchandise there and there might be a fire and the sale is already done, so the seller is not going to protect it. For that reason, they said rabbinically, the sale is not done until the lekeach, the consumer, actually does a mashicha and draws it near him and takes it to him. That's when it's final. But rabbinically, the money is not going to finalize the sale. That's the machlekes of Shlakish and Yechonon in the principle that underlies the halacha of our Mishnah. Now continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, he says, Kro umasnita mesayei l'Rish Lakish. A pasuk and a tanoig source both support the opinion of Rish Lakish that biblically, mois, money, does not acquire for a commoner, for a hedrit. That is, by hektish, we find that it is a kinyan. You will acquire something from hektish by giving over the monies for redemption. But regarding common, regarding people themselves, not regarding hektish, then even biblically, money does not create acquisition. What's the rise? So Kro, from a pasuk is the like it says the pasuk in the Yikra. It says v'chichesh ba'amisa. If somebody will deny a monetary claim from his friend, whether it be b'pekadin regarding a deposit, someone gave someone to watch something from a deposit, and then the guy comes later and says, "I know you told me I don't have your deposit." Oyve sumas yad or regarding a loan, oyve gazel or regarding theft, oyve ashikas amisa or he oppresses his friend. That is, he doesn't give him what he owes him. So regarding all these things, if a person denies that monetary claim and then he admits, that's where the halacha is. You have to give back the principal and an additional fifth. You have to bring a carbon asham. That's that pasuk. So explains the Gemara, tesumas yad, which means literally the placing of the hand, which is regarding a loan. So Amrav Chizki explains what's the case that the pasuk is talking about. He explains it's kegoin sheyichid loy. It's where the borrower had designated for the lender a kli lahalva asai, a specific vessel for the loan, which is similar to a deposit, where that the borrower that owes the money had designated a kli that it's now yours, the lender's. That is, I owe you money. This you could collect from this kli, which essentially it's like the lender's money that now the loiver is watching it for him. So essentially, it's like a pekadin. And the reason for that is because had we said that the case of tsumas yad of a loan that the borrower is denying was regarding the actual loan itself, that actually would not create a liability of a carbon shvua. And the reason being is because the money that the lender lent to the borrower is not the lender's money. It was meant for the borrower to spend. That is the borrower's own money. What he owes him is something else, other monies. So therefore, if he would deny the actual loan itself, that would not create a carbon shvua, as we'll see from the Gemara that there has to have a certain characteristic to be chayav a carbon shvua from all these four things that they have in common. One of them is that it has to be something that is miyuchad, that is designated like a pekadin, which is a concrete, specific money deposit that he owes him. So then Rav Chizki explains, what's the case of the loan? It's not the loan itself money, it's rather when the borrower had designated specifically for that purpose. What's the case of ashak, of oppressing, which is the halach of schar sachir, of not paying the worker that you owe for the labor that he did for you? So Amar Chizki again explains it has to be something specific. It can't just be money that he owes him, because then denying that claim would not create a liability of carbon shvua. Rather, kugun sheyichid lekli la'ashka, is where he designated him for him a vessel for the payment. And again, because if not, then he wouldn't be chayiv for just not paying the payment that he owes his worker. If he denied that payment, he wouldn't be chayiv karban shvua. Again, because then there would not have been a designation of a specific thing, like the case of the other two cases of pekadin, of a deposit, or stealing, and of something which is lost, which is something specifically concrete, an object that he's denying. That's why Rav Chizki explains that these two cases have to be talking about concrete objects, not the loan or the money that you owe the work itself, but rather a kalim that were designated for those purposes. And that is where the employer or the borrower deny that they owe the money, and specifically in these kelim which were designated for that purpose. Then when he admits, that's when he's chayav a karban shvua and a chaymish besides the principal. That's what the pasuk says. So on that says the Gemara, now v'chiyahadri kra. That's what it talks about regarding when the person does this violation, when he violates, he lies, he doesn't admit to what he owes. Now v'chiyahadri kra, then when the pasuk two psukim later goes and finalizes and comes back to say that when he's making the return, after he admits his guilt, that he lied, and I really do owe this money. Ksiv, what does the pasuk say? That when he sins and he's liable, then he should return what he had robbed. Or regarding the payment that he had oppressed, that he had not paid. Or the deposit that was really deposited, which he had denied at first. Now he admits, he has to return the principal and the fifth and the carbon asher. Points out the Gemara, but it doesn't go back and mention the fourth case. There was the four cases that were mentioned originally regarding what he had violated. Then when it talks about when he's returning, he has to return what he really owes, it only mentions three of them. It doesn't talk about the case of the loan. My time, it says, Rava, what's the reason? Says Rava, must be like Rish Lakish. La mishum de mechster meshicha, isn't it because that kli that the borrower owes to the malva never acquired it because he never did meshicha. Although the borrower says, look, I owe you money, and I'll even designate a kli. That kli, the malva never took it to his possession. So although it's like a mo'iz kainis type of situation, it's money that's owed to him, and through that money he would have acquired that kli. But you see, like Rish Lakish, that mo'iz is not kainis mitzvah Torah. Only meshicha is kainis mitzvah Torah. Since he never did a meshicha, the malva, the lender, never drew that kli to him. It was always in the possession of the borrower. That's why it doesn't mention that he has to return it, because he doesn't have to. It was never owned by the malva. Now, on that, only Rapapa the Rav. Rapapa responded back to Rav. He says, wait a second. Say that no, there was four cases mentioned. It mentioned three out of the four. One of those three is the case of Oshak, of the employer owning the employee the money that he owes him. Where there also, the employer owes money to the employee, that kli that the employer had designated, say, look, if I don't pay you, this is where you're going to collect from. The employee never did Mashiach, never drew it. It was always by the employer. And therefore, says Rav Papa, that's why I didn't have to mention the case of Tzumas Yad of a Halva, because you know the halachic principle from Eishek. You actually see, don't prove like this, like Rish Lakish, oh, why didn't I mention the case of loan? Must be because there was no Mashiach. What do you mean? The case of Ashek, there's also no Mashiach. And yet you see that he does have to return it. To the contrary, I could tell you it is like Rabbi Yechanan. And why doesn't it mention the case of a loan? Because it doesn't have to, because you know the halachic principle of Rabbi Yechanan already from the case of Ashek, of not paying the worker, where even though he didn't do Mashiach, you see that he owes it to the worker. So that Rav responds back to Rav Papa. He says, no. The case of Ashak that we're talking about over here, that it does mention regarding that he does have to give him that kli that was designated, is Toma Kagoin Shenitolu Memeno, where originally the worker, the employee, originally took that kli from the employer, and then he gave it back to the employer. So that is Toma, a case where he already did Meshicha. That's why the employer has to go ahead and give the employee that kli, because it was Meshicha. But the case of a loan, which wasn't, that's why it doesn't say it to point out that point, as the Gemara will shortly explain. So that's why it is like Rish Lakish. What are you saying, that it knows it's in the case of Ashak? No, to the contrary, the case of Ashak is Tumah, where he actually did a Mashiach, and that's why he owes it to him. Now the Gemara asked, but Hainu Pakadin, if that's how you describe in the case of Ashak, where it's not really the money that the employer owes to the employee, it is, but he already gave it to the employee, and the employee only gave it back as a deposit to the employer until he has to pay it to him, but he already did Meshicha, so then it's essentially that the employee is giving it to the employer as a deposit to hold for him. But that's already one of the other cases of deposit. And so the Gemara, trade card, and you're right, but there's two different cases of a deposit. One is a classical case of deposit, and one is this new type of deposit, which is really the case of what an employer owes to an employee. But you're right, it's someone that he already did Meshicha, and therefore it's not difficult on the proof they were trying to bring for Rish Lakish, why it doesn't mention the case of a loan. But the Gemara still asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, that you're saying that the case that the Torah mentions when it repeats the three out of the four, is talking about where it wasn't lacking Meshicha, and that's how you describe in the case of what the employer owes to the employee, that the employee already did mashiach, he already took it and then gave it back to the employer. So although you're proving that that would be like Rish Lakish, but then tsumas yad nami lahadre. So then if the Torah is repeating the cases which you're saying is like Rish Lakish, only when there was mashiach done, then that person acquired it, and only then does the person owe it to him when there was mashiach done, when it's owned by that person. So you're explaining that's the case of the, what the employer owes to the employee. So then you could essentially explain the same thing for the fourth case, which wasn't mentioned, but the case of a loan too. Velukman explained it as follows. Why don't you say the same thing by the case of the loan? Say that the lender lent the money to the borrower. The borrower designated a kli that he owes to the lender. Then the borrower gave it to the lender, and the lender gave it back to the borrower, because that's essentially the same case he's describing for the case of the employer and the employee, where the employee designated, gave it to the employee, employee gave it back to the employer, and oh, so he did mashiach already, oh, therefore he has to give it to him. So explain the case of the loan. Why then omit a case of the loan when you could explain it the same way as the schar socher, which is the same type of the description that you're giving according to Rish Lakish? So that the Gemara answers no. Iahadri kra. If the pasuk would have repeated all four cases, including the case of the loan, then you would say that, okay, yeah, he acquired it already, and that's why you have to give it back to him. But then, loy tiyufta v'loy siyata. Had the Torah mentioned then even the case of the loan, it would not have been a refutation, and neither would have been a support according to either opinion. Because Rabbi Yechon would explain the case of the loan as when the lender didn't do mashicha, but since his monies are owed to him by the borrower, that's why the moed is coined from the Torah, that's why the borrower has to give him that what he owes him. And Rish Lakish would explain this tomat where the lender did mashicha and then gave it back to the borrower, and that's why he has to give it to him. So therefore, there wouldn't be a proof either way. But hashda, but now, from the fact that the Torah only repeats three out of the four cases, it only mentions the cases of Ashak, Pekadin, and Gezel, and the loy hadri kran, the Torah does not go ahead and repeat the fourth case of a loan of tsumas yad. That, why did the Torah do that? Misayele, to support Rish Lakish. Because now you could say, wait a second, why did it omit the case of tsumas yad? To say, because tsumas yad would be, is talking about a case, and specifically, yes, we could also say it's talking about a case of mashicha, but it wants to point out this discrepancy, because that to illustrate a case of when it's mechus mashicha, when it didn't do mashicha, and that's why it wasn't kaina the way Rish Lakish's opinion is, because you need mashicha and ma'is is not kaina, whereas the case of Ashak is when there was mashicha. You're right, both cases could be either way. Could be with mashicha or without. And therefore, yes, the Torah could have said the case of halva, but we specifically didn't, says Rava, to point out, like Rish Lakish, to show, hey, why didn't we say that? Must be because that's coming to illustrate the case of when mashicha was not done, and therefore then the bar would not have to give it back to the lender because the lender never did mashicha, therefore he never acquired it. Whereas the case of the schar socher, of the employee, of the worker, was when the worker already did mashicha and then they give it back to the employer, that's when he has to give it to him because that's when he was acquired. Again, like Rish Lakish, because mashicha is kaina, medivri tira and mois are not kainas. Now, the Gemara asked, however, utsumas yad loya hadri kura, the whole principle that Rav was bringing to prove like Rish Lakish was from the fact that there was four cases originally of the violation. Then when it talks about when he wants to do tshuva, when he admits his guilt, it only mentions three out of the four, and that's where the whole halachic discussion comes from. Because tsumas yad alone was not, the pasuk did not go back to mention it. On that, the Gemara was that not mentioned, that there's an obligation to return that object? But V'tanya, in the Braisa Amr B'Shimon, he says, Minayin liknes ha'amr lamala lamata. From where do we know that which was mentioned earlier in the Pesukim, in that first pasuk when all four are mentioned, lamata to what was mentioned later, where it only mentions three out of the four? Essentially, he's saying, how do you know that the halacha applies even to tsumas yad to a loan, that when he admits, he has to give back that which he owes to the lender? Because it says in Vayikra, at the end of that parsha, it says, or anything for which he swears falsely. So what does it mean, mikol, from everything? So, V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav explains what Rav Shimon coming to include. It's L'Rav, it's Tsumas Yad, L'Yishavim. It's coming to include that even regarding the case of the loan, that does have to be returned to the lender, that is included. So you see that the halacha applies to all four, including the case of the loan. So how are we saying the whole halacha to prove the point like Rish Lakish? Is because the mois and akainis, only mashicha, and there was no mashicha on the part of the lender, that's why you don't have to return to him. But we see clearly the halacha is that you do have to return to the lender, although it doesn't say explicitly, but the pasuk is coming to include when this is the word mikal. That the Gemara answers, but behed yemi eloi hadri kro. However, the pasuk, however, does not explicitly mention it, that there would be an obligation to return it and to bring a carbon regarding that denial. And therefore, that when the pasuk does come to include the case of halva, when it says mikola sheshavalav lashaker, which again was explained that includes even by tsumas yad lehishaven, that's only what's similar to pekadim, to the case of deposit, which we described. First of all, it has to be something specific, and moreover, it's only, like we described before, that the case of Avo would be when the lender had taken that which was set aside and then had given it back to the borrower. That's when, that's a case of like Pekadin, that's where the case of Avo would also, which yeah, that's coming to include, would have to return it, but again, it's only similar to the way that Rish Lakish had defined it, that there was Mashiach done to it. But if Mashiach wasn't done to it, that's why the Torah does not mention the case of Avo explicitly, to say, because in general, when you have a case of Avo, then where there was no Mashiach done it, then you don't have to return it. It's only that when it's included subsequently from Mikal, to say that it has to be similar to the case of Bakadin mentioned over there, which is, as we described, the case of Ashak, of not paying to the worker, is only when Mashiach was done. That's the source for Shlokish from the Pasig, that only Mashiach is kain mitvatar, but Mois are not kainis, even on a biblical level. Now, the Gemara continues, Masnitim Olam. So says Rava, what do we know from a Tanoic source, like Rish Lakish, that again, we only are biblically kind of with Meshicha, with drawing it, and not with monies. So the Tanya, like we learned the Brais, or like others have the Girs of Tanan, it's a Mishnah, Mesechtes Me'ila. The Mishnah says, Nisana, if an individual gives a pruta, a coin of Hektish, which one is not allowed to use for his own purposes, but he does it by mistake, inadvertently doesn't realize that it's a money of Hektish, and he gives it Labalon, to the bathhouse worker, where he's giving him the payment to be able to use the bathhouse. Says the Mishnah, Mal, automatically, at that point when he paid the worker for the bathhouse, he has committed misappropriation of the monies of Hektish, even if he didn't yet use the bathhouse and for its purposes to have benefit from it. The moment he gives him the money, he has committed Me'ilah. Now, Amar Rav, Rav explained that in inference of that halacha, that Mishnah, why is it picked specifically the case of a balon, of a bathhouse? It's because dafka balonhu. It's dafka, it's specifically by the case of the bathhouse worker, where yes, once he gives the money, then he has already committed me'ila. The reason being is because you have automatically affected the rental that you can use of the bathhouse from the moment that you give the money, and therefore there's no more retraction of that acquisition. And therefore, at that moment, you have done affected that transfer, and then that's considered me'ila. The reason for that is because delay mechser meshicha. Because by the case of a bathhouse payment, you're not lacking any meshicha because there is nothing to do meshicha on. When you're creating an acquisition, that would finalize the sale. When you're renting something to use a bathhouse, there's no meshicha. You can't draw anything to you. You just use the premises. Now, therefore it says in that case that the moment you pay, you have committed me'ilah. Aval, but says Rav, if let's say he has given the money on midi, on something, achrita, on something else, demechse meshicha, that is lacking meshicha. In other words, something that you could draw to yourself when you're doing that rental or sale, then it would sound like from that Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, that loymol ademashach, then you have not committed me'ilah until the meshicha is done. Why? You've given the money. Must be like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yechon, because only meshicha is kinda, but the ma'is are not kainas. Now, however, on this halacha, the Gemara asks about Tanya, learn the Braisa that says, Nisana l'safar ma'al. If someone has given money to the barber, just by giving the money to him from money of Hektish by mistake, he has committed me'ilah. And the question is, v'safar haboy l'mimshach. But by a barber, the consumer, the one who's getting the haircut, has to draw to him the tespiris, the scissors. Because whatever you have a situation of a sale that could have Mashiach done to it, you don't acquire until you do Mashiach. Now, so therefore, why over there, if you're proving like Rish Lakish that you need Mashiach, and that's why only by the case of Balaam, when there's nothing to Mashiach, that's why it says in that case, you've committed Mila right away. But by a barber, there's something to do Mashiach on, which is the other scissors, and therefore, why over there have you committed Mila the moment that you've given the money to the barber? So the Gemara says, Hachmai Skin, what are we talking about in that price is Besaper Nachr. You're talking about a non-Jewish barber, Yalav Bar Mashiach, who he's not someone that can have Mashiach done with him. And that is the halachas of Mashiach don't apply to a non-Jew, as it says in the pasuk, that The halacha Meshicha, where it's learned out from, as we learned in the previous daf, is in the pasuk of Miyad Meisecha, which is only from that of your brother, which is another Jew, but the halachas Meshicha do not apply to non-Jew, and therefore there's no Meshicha to be done with him. Therefore, the moment that you give the money, that's the finalization of the sale for the haircut by the non-Jewish barber, and that's what he committed right away. So the Gemara proves this. Tana Mahoch is similar in the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, Nesan Lesapar, if someone pays from money of Hekdesh to the barber, or Lesapar, not to the sailor, where he's getting a ride, or Lechol Bali Umnes, or to all professionals, to any craftsman, says the Braisa, Loi Mo'ala Demashach. Then the Me'ila has not been committed until he does Meshicha, he draws something to him from what that work is doing for him. So that kashna dadi. So now we have a contradiction with a barber regarding a barber. Is the halacha of me'ila by a barber when you give the money? Or like we learned this price, so when, until you do meshicha on, let's say, the scissors? Elav shalom no, rather says the Gemara, must be like we had answered, kam besaper nachri. The first price is told by a non-Jewish barber, where then there's no meshicha, so then you've committed me'ila right away. Kam besaper yisrael here, where it says that only until you did meshicha, that's when you're going to commit me'ila, that's told by a Jewish barber where it does apply meshicha. Shema mina, that resolves a contradiction, and that again is the proof like Rish Lakish, because when you can do Meshicha, the Kenyan is only with Meshicha and not through the Mois like Rish Lakish had said. Now, however, V'chinam Rav Nachman, Sutra Rav Nachman says, not like Rish Lakish, but rather like Rabbi Yechanan, that Dvar Torah Mois kindness, he holds like Rabbi Yechanan, that biblically monies do acquire for a finalization of a sale. And again, it's only rabbinically that they said it's not going to work with money, it's only with the merchandise being drawn to that person that finalized the sale. So to Ubedaka Levi Bimasnita, that Levi analyzed in his brises, which according to Rashi, he says that it means that he added on his Tosefos that he organized and he taught this, Ashkach, and he found where this brise that again says like Rabbi Yechanan, where Nesana L'Sitan, if somebody gives money to a wholesaler, that's a large store that sells produce to the small stores, to the poor types of shopkeepers. And the way they pay the wholesaler is that they give him, to the wholesaler, money a little bit at a time when they sell, so then they have more income, they have money, then they can pay up little by little. Now, in the beginning of when they make their big purchase for the year, they give what's called neirava, and they give a deposit of money, which is, it's a down payment for the amount that they're buying for the whole year. So says this brisa that Levi brought, which is again like Rabbi Yechanan, from the moment that they give the money, ma'al, they've committed me'ila if they give it with the money of Hekdesh. Now, the reason why they proved like Rabbi Yechanan is because although they didn't do Meshicha on all the produce, because actually they don't take all the produce at one time, but since their sale that they buy from the wholesaler is the purchasing is of what they're going to get from him for the whole year, so you see that from the fact that they gave the money, although it's a down payment, but it's for the whole item, that for all the produce that they're buying for the whole year, although they didn't do Meshicha yet on it, still we see that it's considered Me'ila on that purchase, which is for all those produce. So it must be because the money is acquiring it for them, because if it was Meshicha, they didn't do Meshicha on that finalization of that sale, and therefore it wouldn't be Me'ila, rather must be like Rabbi Yechanan. Now, we'll continue on Talmud Beis. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Elakasha, so this Braisa of Levi is difficult to Rish Lakish, because according to Rish Lakish, then it actually should not be Me'ila, and it's difficult from a Braisa, not like Rish Lakish. On the Rish Lakish, he says, Hamani, who's the town of this Braisa? It's Reb Shimon. He's going like Reb Shimon that said in our Mishnah that the Lekach cannot retract after he gave the money, even though he didn't do Meshicha on the item that he's buying, because Rish Shimon holds that Mois are kindness, as we explained in the previous daf. Rish Lakish, who says that Mois are not kindness in the Medivri Torah, only Meshicha is only in the Rabbanan, but he agrees that Rish Shimon holds that Mois are kindness, and that's who he explains the time that the Braisa is going like, and that's why it's not difficult on Rish Lakish. That concludes that part of our Mishnah. The Gemara continues with the halacha of a Mishnah that said, although we said that after the giving of the money, before the item had Meshicha done, which again was Machlikis or Shlokish or Yechanan, if this halacha is biblical or rabbinical, but the Mois are not kindness, so although the money was given, still they could retract. Avlamr, but they said, the sages said, Misha par b'chula, whoever punished from the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion, will punish somebody who retracts from their commitment to the sale once the money was given. Now, Idma, we learned, Abaya Amma, he says, Eidu maydi'inanle. We notify the one of those two parties that wants to back out, and we tell them, look, you halachically could back out because the lekech did not yet do meshicha on the product, but if you back out, ultimately Hashem is going to punish you. Rav Amar, he says, actually, melid laitinla, we actually curse the person. We don't just notify him, we curse him and tell him a curse for backing out of his word, where, although halacha he could, but that's the mishapara. Now, the Gemara explains, Abaya Amar Yidu Medinla, he says that we only notify the individual, because the chassivit says the pasuk in Shema, he says, that, although it talks about a nasi, but it's for every Jewish person, the prince amongst your people, laitar, you don't curse, we don't curse another Jew. We notify him that there will be a punishment, but we don't curse him. Rava Amameid Latinle, he says, no, we actually curse such a person. The chassid, because the pasuk over there says, Venasi ba'amcha, which we expound, what does it mean, ba'amcha, amongst your people? Ba'isa ma'isa amcha. This that we don't curse another Jew is only when he does the actions of your people. This person does not do the actions of your people, the Jewish people, as it says the pasuk in Sefanya. It says, She'erus Yisrael, the remnants of the Jewish people, lo yasu avlu, do not do iniquity. They don't talk lies. And this person is a liar, because he committed, and now he doesn't keep his word, he backs out. That is such a person that we are allowed to curse, and we do curse him. We don't just notify him, we curse him. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, says, where do I know this? How could I prove that we actually curse the individual? I'll prove it to you from the following incident. Drebchir by Yosef, Yavu le zuzia milcha. He had salt, he sold salt, and people gave him money already for the salt. But their consumers never did mashicha on the salt. Now, l'saif ayakar milcha, before they got a chance to do mashicha, the price of salt went up, and the seller didn't want it, that they should have purchased it already at the cheaper price. So he wanted to back out of that sale. Now, asla kam the Rebbechan, this Rebbechib Yisuf came from the Rebbechan. Amalei Rebbechan said to him, zil havlahu, go ahead, you got to give them the salt. V'loi, and if not, if you back out, so Allah halachically you could, but kibbal alecha mishapar, you have to accept upon yourself the mishapara, the curse of the mishapara, whoever punished, etc., from those people will punish you. So he says, Rava, v'iyamar oidu maidinle, if you say like a bayan, that when there's a mishapara, we just notify the person that there's going to be a mishapara. So says Rava, Rav Chiya bar Yosef bar Arduehu, he's someone that has to be notified? What do you mean? We have to tell him that Hashem punishes from the liars? He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmudic scholar. He knows that halacha. We don't have to notify him. Must be that it's not that we just notify the person. And that the Gemara responds, Ve'el amai. So what are you saying, Rava? Meilid latinle? So like your opinion that it's that we curse the person? So Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Asal Kabuli Allah Latusid Rabbanah, so Rav Chiya bar Yosef is coming to accept upon himself the curse of the rabbis. If you say he knows this halacha, that means to say he knows that if he's going to try to back out, that he's going to get cursed. So what exactly is he coming to Rabbi Yechanan for? Obviously, that it can't be that, because he wouldn't be coming to accept a curse. So El Rather says the Gemara must be that it's not a proof either way. And the discussion was on a different halachic principle. Rav Chiya bar Yosef, in that incident, a ravine, which was that there was a deposit of some of the monies, who the Yahi Vilay. They had given it to him where they had set a large amount of money for that, a large quantity of salt that they wanted to buy from him. They didn't give all the money originally. They gave a deposit, a down payment, for the quantity of the salt. So what was the discussion? Shabchiba Yasef, who saw he held Kinegdehu Kainam. That is that the consumer, and hence the Mishapara, that he'd be accepting would only be regarding the amount of money that was given as a deposit regarding his salt. And that is that the consumer has not acquired regarding all the sale that they had made up to sell. So what Rav Chiya bar Yosef wanted to do is that he wanted to give the amount of salt that was given the money of the deposit. But he wanted to retract on the rest. What Rav Chiya had told him was, meaning he knew, and therefore it doesn't make sense that he had to be notified or that he was going to be cursed, because either one doesn't make sense. It's that he knew about this halacha, and he didn't want the mishapara. But he thought that mishapara would only apply to how much money was given to him. But the rest, which money wasn't given, although it was given as a down payment, he thought it only acquires for that amount. And if he wanted to retract regarding the rest, and that Rav Yechon told him that no keneged kulei koina, the acquisition of the down payment doesn't acquire only correlating to the amount of money that was given, but it acquires the entirety of that sale, and it's just that now he owes the rest of the money, and if he can't back out of any, halachically he could, but if he backs out, he's going to get a mishapara on the entirety of the sale. Because as the Gemara explains, that actually Itma, we learned that it's a machlekes, and that was this machlekes to Rav Chiya bar Yosef and Rav Yechon. A Rava, in regarding a down payment, a deposit, Rav Omer, like Rav Chiya bar Yosef was saying, Kenegdehu Kainam, that it only acquires correlating to the amount of money that was given of the deposit. Now, depending what was sold, it depends. If it was a sale of land, so that amount of money that was given, which Karka is Nikna, because it actually acquired with money, so that's how much it's a finalized of a sale, only that amount of money that I had given. Or let's say we're selling metal and movable items. So then, although we say that you need to have meshicha, but there is a kinyan correlating to the amount of money that was given, at least in regards to the mishapara. But it's only that amount. That money was given, not regarding the rest. But Rabbi Yechonam, as we just mentioned before, he says, k'neged kulo haykaina. No, that he actually requires regarding the entirety of the sale, not just regarding how much money he gave, which again, regarding land, is a full kinyan on the whole thing. Regarding metalton, it's only a kinyan regarding mishapara, but it's on the entirety of the sale. That's the Machlikis Rav and Rabbi Yechonan again, which was this discussion between Chiba Yosef and Rabbi Yechonan, no proof to Rava that we actually curse and that we don't just notify like his Machlikis with Abaya. Now once we introduce this Machlikis, the Gemara asks Mesiv. The Gemara asks on the opinion of Rav that says, which was like Chiba Yosef wanted to say, that the kinyan of the deposit is only on that amount of money that was given, not on the entirety of the sale. For the following Braisa, the Braisa says, Hanoisin a Ravin lechaveret. Someone gives an eruvin to his friend. Now, as Rashi points out, this word eruvin, although it was just mentioned before, is not the same word eruvin. And that is, previously, eruvin meant what he calls Irish, which means to say a deposit or a down payment. It's an upfront payment of the amount of money that he owes him for the sale that he's making. That's what we meant before when we used the word eruvin. Here, the word eruvin is from the term of mashkin. Of collateral, it's like a security, which is not that it's being used for payment, but it's going to be, this is like a guarantee that if I back out, you'll be able to take that security as a penalty for me from backing out. So, someone gives a security to his friend, and he tells him, this was the buyer telling the seller, says, if I retract from this sale, so then my security is forgiven to you, you can go ahead and take my security if I back out from the sale. So to the other way, the seller tells to the buyer, I'm also in on this. If I retract from selling you this item, I'll double your security. Meaning, you gave me a certain amount of money, I'll double that and I'll give you that amount of this that I'm retracting from the sale. So, says the first opinion, so the conditions are fulfilled. The Rabbi Yisi says that the halacha is like the conditions that they made. If anyone of them backs out, they have to keep to their word. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yisi l'tamei, because Rabbi Yisi goes according to his opinion, the Amad that he says in Baba Basra, and the Kof Samachesim and Aleph, that asmachta, which is if someone makes a guarantee to his friend, like a guzma, which is someone that guarantees something like, he just says something which is way beyond anyone would have thought that to agree upon, but he says, yeah, you know what, if I back out, I'm going to have to give this amount of money, I'm going to owe you this and this, that actually is acquired, and a person has to keep his words, that which they had made up, and therefore here also, where though there was no kinyan done on their words that they said, so yeah, I'll forgive my security, he says, oh, I'll double your security, you have to actually keep to it, and therefore B.C. says that the Tanai are halachically binding. And therefore, each one has to keep to that. Whereas Rabbi Huda Imre, he disagrees with the principle of Rabbi Yisi, and he holds actually, asmachta is not kanya. In other words, neither of those conditions of the stipulations will apply according to Rabbi Huda. In other words, if let's say they back out, the borrower has not forgiven the security, and if the seller backs out, he does not have to give double that amount. Not like Rabbi Yisi. So rather, what does this security accomplish? So Rabbi Huda, da'yu shenikna k'neged arvayna. What it does accomplish is that there should be an acquisition at least correlating to the amount of the security itself. In other words, what it accomplishes is that neither one of them are allowed to back out from the sale of how much can they not back out. How much is correlating to the security amount? Regarding that is how much there was a commitment. But they could back out on the rest. That's what Rabbi Huda says is accomplished in this case of the guy who gives the security. Now, on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said an explanation of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, when did we say that the kinyan of the security in what was being acquired is only correlating to the amount of the security itself? That's when the buyer tells the seller, I want that through my security, I should acquire the entirety of this sale. Now, as Rashi explains, that the buyer did not give that, like we're calling this a ruvin, this security, initially for the purposes of a down payment. If it was given as a down payment, although let's say the sale is on something worth $1,000, they only gave $100. If it was given through a deposit, a down payment, then actually it's like considered as if he bought the whole thing, as the Gemara is going to shortly say, and then the rest of the money that he owes is like a halva, like a loan that he owes him the rest of the money. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, the case that Yehuda is describing over here, where he disagrees with Reb Yasi, that the commitments, that's good, that's a guzma, that's a smachta, that's not kanya. So what does it accomplish? Only regarding to how much the security was, and it does not make a mandate on the rest of the money, that's only where it was given, not as a down payment, but as a security. And moreover, he said that I want my security to acquire for me the entirety of the sale, which that's not halachically significant, because that's impossible. It's not given as a down payment, it's a security, and the security cannot acquire the rest. That's why Buddha says that the commitment is only regarding the amount of the security itself. Aval, but says Reb Shimon Gamliel, if machloi bayis eisod be'el abzuz, let's say he was selling him a house or a field worth 1,000 zuz. Uparloi mehem chamesh me'ezuz, and he paid up 500 zuz of that. In other words, if originally that money was not given just as a security, but it was given actually as a deposit of a down payment to be the beginning of the payment, or he doesn't say anything, he just gives the money, and therefore that's the beginning of payment, then says Reb Shimon Gamliel, then Reb Yehuda would hold that kana, that actually then the buyer has acquired the whole thing. And then he just gives the rest of the money back to him, even after many years. In other words, this that we had the machlekes, and that's what the Gemara is coming to illustrate now, the question on Rav, the machlekes between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan was seemingly the same type of a case. They were talking about a raven, as we said, as a down payment, as a deposit to be the beginning of the money, which to be in a kinya of the entirety of the money, which was just given without saying anything. He just started giving the beginning of the money. So therefore, ask the Gemara, my love, so don't you say the same thing, just like Reb Shimon Gamliel says, regarding by land, which is, when you give money, you're entirely acquiring that land with the money. And says Reb Shimon Gamliel, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree, that when you already give some of the money, when you don't say anything, you just start giving, which that's a down payment, you automatically acquired all the land, and you just have to then pay the rest of the money at a later point in time. So don't you say that huwa din l'matatlin, that the same halacha would apply to movable items, which you're right, by movable items, money does not acquire, as we're going into halacha, that you need to have meshicha. But for what is money, what does money accomplish by movable items? It accomplishes a mishapara, that if someone wants to back out, once money was given, in regards to whatever is considered acquired with that money, for a mishapara. So wouldn't you say the same thing is that b'distama kanyu luhu, that when you just give the a raven, the deposit, the down payment, that will already acquire lakulu to create a mishapara in the entirety of it, which is not like Rav. Rav said the mishapara of money from Metatlin is only kenegdoi, according to the amount that was given. Seemingly over here, you see from Shimon Gamliel that the halacha of money, although it's given only for some of it, will create a kriya on all of it when you just do stam, when you just give the money without saying what it's for. When you debut to say it's only going to be connected the a rava, and that's when you say, I'm giving a security, I want the security to acquire the whole thing. A security can't acquire the whole thing. But you don't say that. When you just give the money, and let's say you say you want to be of a down payment, or even if you don't say anything, then it's going to work as a down payment, and it's going to work for the whole thing. Now then you just owe the rest of the money as a halva. So then similarly you would say there's something by metavlin, although it doesn't acquire it, but it acquires regarding mishapara, and it's not just in regards to how much was given, but it's regarding the whole thing, like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rav. So the Gemara answers, like, no, that actually there is a difference between metavlin and karka. By metavlin, by movable items, by a product, bidistama, that in general, like kani, where when money is given, then it does not acquire the entirety to therefore get a mishapara if you gave correlating a certain amount of a deposit as a down payment. Now, umayishna, why would there be any difference between metatlin regarding mishapara and karka regarding the complete kinyan? Seemingly it's the same thing. Each one, money does something. Why by karka if you give even just a part of the money? It's like you acquired the whole thing. So therefore, when what is money accomplished by metatlin is a mishapara. Why doesn't it say it's on the whole thing? So it explains the Gemara, because karka, by land, where the power of money is very strong in acquisition, because the bekas b'kan le'mamish. By land, money literally acquires the land, a complete kinyan, where no one can back out anymore. It's a finalization of the sale. So therefore we say that it's such a strong kinyan, money by land. So therefore, yes, by even just paying part of the money, then you'll acquire all the land. But metatli by movable items, where money as an acquisition is very weak, because even if you pay up all the money, even if you paid up all the money for the movable item, there would be no kinyan whatsoever. It would only be to create a mishapara. So therefore also, when you just give part of the money, then with that little amount of payment that you have given, you have not acquired kule, you have not acquired for the whole thing, even to receive a mishapara on the rest, you only get a mishapara on the amount of the deposit of the down payment itself, and maybe there's no refutation of Rav from this brisa. So the Gemara says, actually, let me ketanoi. Let's say this machlik is Rav and Rabbi Yechanan regarding the deposit, the down payment, if that would... regarding metatlin, that's going to create a mishapara only on how much was given, or even regarding the entirety of the sale. Let's say it's a machlekes tanoim in the following brisa. The brisa says, "Hamalves chaver al mashkin." Someone lends money to his friend on collateral, where that regarding the halachas of shmita, that does not void that loan. The reason being is because the whole halacha of shmita, that you're not allowed to collect the loan after the shmita year, it says lo yigos. Now go ahead and demand to collect the money. Here, the lender is not claiming anything because he has collateral that he could just keep for himself. So therefore, the halacha of hashmatas kesavim does not apply when there is security. So if someone lends his friend money on collateral, and then the shmita year enters, so says the Braisa, Afa Pisha Einashav Ela Plag, even if the collateral is only worth half of the debt of the loan, Eina Meshamet, that does not create a hashmata, does not void the loan, which later on the Gemara is going to explain this halacha. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's a opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, says, it depends. Im hayamashkin keneged halva asai, if the security was equal to the amount of the loan, then Eina Meshamet, then it doesn't void the loan. Vimlav Meshamet, but if it's not equal, then it will void the loan. Explains the Gemara. My Eina Meshamet Dekama Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. What does Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, when he says, when this collateral is not going to void the loan, what does he mean? Eilema, if you say that it's not going to be Meshamet Kenegdoi, correlating to the amount of the security itself, let's say the security is only worth half of the debt. So it's regarding that amount that the collateral he doesn't have to collect from him anymore because he has it by him himself. That's where there's no leigos. That's not going to be voided. But it would void the rest, which he doesn't have collateral on. Then, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if it's only kenegdoi, the mechlal Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that would infer that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that he's coming to say, that when he says that if the collateral is not equal to the amount of the loan, that then it is going to be meshamet, must be that sav alahach palga nam meshamet, that it's even going to void the collection of the loan, even correlating to the amount that he has security on. On that, the Gemara asks, as we continue to talk about Mem Testament Aleph, well, then elamashkin denokid lamalei, then according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, why then would this person take this collateral? Why would he hold on to it if not for the fact that he could at least maintain the loan according to the amount of the security that he has? Because according to that amount, he has loyika, he's not violating loyika because he doesn't have to collect. Why would he have it if the whole purpose is to be able to maintain his collection on that amount once the Shemitah year comes? So Allah Shmamin the Rav the Gemara says what you have to say is that Mayin Meshamet to come Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when he says that it's not going to void, which again we're explaining when the security is not even the whole amount, only half the amount, must be that he holds Ein Meshamet Bekulay, that it's not going to void at all, even the entirety of the loan, even though the security is, let's say, only worth half that amount. Oh, my Meshamet to come Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and therefore then that one makes sense. So what does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi mean when he says it is going to void the loan? It's lahach palga delay nokra la mashkin, for that half which it doesn't have security on, that it'll apply laikas, that is, it's going to void that. But of course the part that he has the security on, that's not going to be voided by the halachas of Shemitah. Now, so then what's the machlekes? Again, it's regarding this principle, the machlekes of Avim Riechanan, that this is what they disagree about. The Rabbi Shimon Liel Sava, he holds that a security collateral, keneged kulei hu kaina. When someone gives part of the money, the acquisition is regarding the entirety of the thing, which is like Rabbi Yechanan, that only part of the money was given, but still the liability is on all of it. Therefore, even though that security is only on half of the loan, but now the entirety of the loan is not voided. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi suffered keneged hu kaina. He says that no, only how much money was given, that's how much the security works, and that's how much of it's not going to be voided. But the rest will be voided, which is like Rav, that it's only connected who kind. So similarly, the machlekes Rav and Beichan is the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's a Zigmar Loi. No, it's not a Raya. My ain mishamid the kama Rav Shimon Gamliel. Really, we could say that what does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean when he says when the security is only, let's say, half of the loan that he says it's not going to void. It's only lahach palga de nokr la mashkin. It's only for that half that you have security on. That's when it's not going to void that amount. But the rest, it would void. Now, machlal, the inferences, and this was the difficulty we had before, to be Yehuda Nasi Saba that he holds, lahach palga de nokr la mashkin na mishamid, that even the half of that you have security on, it is going to void. So that the Gemara asks, ela mashkin de nokr lamale. So then why would that person be holding on to the security if it's not going to help him even regarding that amount that he has security for? So the Gemara answers, "Lizikar in Devarim Ba'alma." That's just to recall that the guy owes him money. So why do I have this object? Oh, I lent that guy money. That's why he has it. But you're right; it's not going to be that their machlek is in between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan. They're not discussing regarding if it works for beyond it. It only works for the halachas because leigis is that you're not allowed to collect. So you're not allowed to collect money that you have no security for. What you have security for, so that you can maintain. So that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. What's the opinion of Rabbi Dan Nasi? It says it doesn't even work for what you have. Is because the entirety of the loan is still extant because you don't have a security on the whole thing, you're still going to have to collect, so therefore the whole thing is voided. Why does he have the security for? That's what the Gemara says, Lizikar and Dvam Ba'alma, just as a way of recalling, but you're right, it's not going to work at all regarding not voiding the loan. According to him, the entirety of the loan is going to be voided.